I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa.
KZ got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
It is good to have you listening on a Friday. Fellas, thanks for coming out here, hanging out with us, and enjoying an ice cold Hey, Man L. That was the echoes mic of our bar right here.
Yeah, man, we got our usual suspects. We got angry coach here. Coach is like, get Dan Quinn out of there. Yes. So he's always here.
Yes, he's always here.
We got our young couple over here. We got Desmond Trufant's brother. He's over here.
I see
we got a whole crew, man. We got everybody hanging out. We got Coach. We got Jay, by the way. This is Jay. Jay, apparently his wife does not know he's here. I just ruined that.
Yeah, she does anyway. She does now.
Come on down and join us. Twin Peaks, Kennesaw, guys. A lot of folks are heading down to Atlantic Station for the big Falcon pep rally, too, so you make a pit stop here on your way down.
All right, man. We got a lot to talk about. Dave Arch is going to join us in the 6 o'clock hour. He'll help us break this thing down. I want to read a little bit of this article by this gentleman in Philly who talks about, and the headline reads, Falcons, nothing to be worried about.
Oh, snap.
I'm checking this out, and he goes, listen, if you're nervous about the Falcons and it strikes fear into your heart, Eagles fans, don't be. I'm paraphrasing here. He basically goes on to say that we haven't been jack since they beat us in the playoffs January 13th, 2018. And he goes on to say, yeah, they play better at home, but we've owned them, and I'm talking about the Eagles. And then, Mike, he says a few other things, like Matt Ryan talks about the fact that he's 34 years old now, and I think we've seen the best of what he has to offer. He says Julio Jones, meanwhile, hasn't had a touchdown against the Eagles since 2015.
He's not lying.
And then he goes on to say, beyond that, do you worry about Devontae Freeman or Ito Smith?
Wow.
This guy puts us on blast.
Who is this guy from Philly? Who is this jabroni?
His name is, hold on, stand by. His name is Kevin Keek, whatever.
All right, well, you just made the list, pal.
I don't want to say that.
Anyway, here's the deal. Carl was just asking me, because a buddy of his is out in Vegas, and he just bet the under on the Falcons. Over-under for the Falcons on Sunday night is 47. And for those of you from Noonan, that would be like 24-23 final. So if you're looking at...
I like people from Noonan.
This, and by the way, that's out of love, and we're having fun. There are many great Noonanites and Peachtree Cityans. And if you can't get the joke, I mean, we're having fun. My maintenance guy, and again, I sound like a DB when I say it, the maintenance guy in my building is from Newton.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a loyal listener, and that's specifically for him. It's become a thing. But again, 27, 20, that's how you get to a 47 over-under. And I do believe the under is the play. If you look historically, last three times we played the Eagles were in Philly. Don't have to remind you.
Nope.
2018 to start the season, we ended it the way, or we started the season the way we ended the season in 2017-18. We scored 12 points. We lost that game, guys. 18-12. 15-10 was the playoff game, which I made the bad decision to go to. And then if you go back, Carl, remember in 16, the year we went to the Super Bowl, we lost and we were really ugly. We remember that was the game before the bye week, and we kind of really mailed it in. We couldn't get anything cooking, and that was a 24-15. Add it all up, all those games are under 47 points, which is the over-under.
And
the only time, guys, we got close was the last time we beat him, and that's when Julio scored a touchdown, and that was 15. That was the 2015 season. We started off 5-0.
This article goes on to say, I'm still upset about it, Mike. He says, you worried about Devontae or Ito? Oh, I read that already. Then he says, Calvin Ridley or Austin Hooper or Grady? You shouldn't be. He says, the Falcons have pieces, yeah. Playing at home, sure. But if you're a Super Bowl team, as we think the Eagles are, you should be able to go on the road and beat a team, wait for it, that crested a few years ago.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts. Don't say that. That hurts.
But this is how they view us.
But this is how the rest of the country views
this
us.
This is how they view us, right? So this is why I've said this is an important game. Is it the end-all of end-alls? No. We still have a bunch of football to play. But if you are going to respond after a terrible loss on the road, At home on Sunday Night Football, Mike, and this is, again, the Eagles have had your number for the last three seasons. We've talked about it.
Right.
In the playoffs included, you got to respond.
We've held them to 27 points the last two games, but we couldn't finish in the red zone. I don't have to remind you guys, you know, Matt and Julio, we talked about the disconnect. Whether you felt that Julio got jumped or whatever happened or they should have called a penalty. Maybe in the new NFL we would have gotten a chance to, at least the official would have reviewed it in the last 2 minutes. Either way, guys, we've got to be able to smack these guys in the mouth because that's what they're going to do to us. They've taken away our ability to run the ball. The only time we had any run success against these guys the last three games is when Tevin Coleman got the rock. Remember down the stretch?
That's right.
And then for some reason, inexplicably, Sark gave it to Free.
And went away from it.
So I look at the Eagles as a more physical team than us. Dan Quinn is trying to change that. But you can't, like, remember Mike Smith? The Falcons are soft. The Falcons aren't tough. Bull spin.
Yeah.
You just don't look in the mirror and say, all right, guys, we're going to be tough. We think we've got some real tough dudes. Debo.
Even if you slap yourself.
Keanu Neal, Tack McKinley, Grady. So I don't know what to tell you other than you just got to execute. I don't like, and you heard Chuck Smith, I don't like what they're doing with this 3-4, but that seems to be something they're going to have to get better at, and hopefully they will. But in the short term, small sample size, not exactly working right now.
We've averaged 12.3 points per game in those three losses.
Again.
That's pathetic.
It came down to the red zone. It came down to, again, Julio and Matt not been able to connect in the end zone when it mattered.
So let's hear from some of our guys. It is our Falcon Report. It's brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Hey, guys. Great deal from Domino's right now. Large three-topping pizza, $7.99. It's good for carryout every night of the week. So whether you're watching a baseball tonight, college, or pro football, make it a Domino's party.
Coming up in less than 10 minutes, what the Braves lineup's going to look like, who's back, and what's wrong with Cam. It's all on the way. Let's hear from Devontae Freeman first, Mike, talking about the confidence in the O-line. Because, again, we've got some things that we've changed up front now. Chris Lindstrom, not in the lineup. We know that he's going to be out at least half the season. Here's Free talking about his confidence level.
I feel good. I'm confident in whoever is out there on the field. Like I said, it's all about us. I like us. I work with these guys every single day, so I know the work and the strain, the effort that they put in. So, you know, a man at work can't do nothing but believe in him.
I need to see Free have the burst. I need to see some physicality from our O-line. Free right. talked about it, playing that way against an Eagles team that's going to come out and try to set the tone Sunday night.
We got to be physical with these guys, too, because they dogs. You already know Philly good. They defense. Every team in the NFL got a great defense, so it's going to be a dog fight every game. We already know we got to be physical, execute and make plays and take care of the ball.
Now, you and I have talked a lot about the first quarter of the season, and I told you we could go 2-2. I take that.
Yep.
3-1, obviously, we prefer. But we knew that the Minnesota game and the Philly game were going to be tough. Nobody wants to lose at home to start the season. After this, we got the Colts, and then we've got the Titans. Although the Titans have showed they're for real with their defense this year with Coach Vrabel. I mean, I don't want to say it's the end of the world, but I just know how this town reacts, and I know how our listeners are going to react, and Falcon fans, guys we're talking to here at the bar. As Steve Koonin said, it's ridiculous to say it's a must-win game, but it does need to happen, man. We cannot lose to these guys another time. Because they're everything we aspire to be as far as the physicality. I mean, we got to, on paper, we should blow doors on these guys offensively. We talked yesterday, Julio, Calvin Ridley, Sanu, and no disrespect to what they've got at receiver, but we should be better than Alshon Jeffrey, Aguilar, Ertz. I mean, I know they brought DeSean Jackson back. I mean, Matt Ryan's an MVP. Carson Wentz has never played a full season.
No, he hasn't, and he got paid for it. Here's Julio, speaking of this game and how big it is. How big is this game, Julio?
Each game is the same. Like, this is a big game for us because it's the next game, and we're doing everything we can to be ready for the game.
He also said yesterday, by the way, that felt like he didn't play well enough in game one. He was going to play better in week two. I think a lot of that, Mike, had to do with the non-practicing and the other stuff that was going on. I really do.
A lack of rhythm.
I really do. So let's hope he gets involved early and often with this offensive game plan. Dirt cutter. Here's Tack McKinley, guys. Is he going to get involved getting some sacks and some pressures on Carson Wentz? Here's McKinley.
It's very important, but, you know, we got to stop the run first. I mean, Minnesota only threw the ball like 10 times, so, I mean, if you can't stop the run, you ain't going to be able to rush. So, you know, our mindset is to stop the run and have the, you know, the right to rush.
And he's right. I mean, they're going to come out. They're going to try to get both of those running backs established. They'll have Sproles out there sparingly, but they'll find plays for him. And, Mike, if they get that going, I'm telling you, that misdirection, jet sweep motion stuff that they do
right.
will get you caught up, and all of a sudden they're throwing the ball down the field on you. So Tack is right. Getting pressure is nice, but if they don't stop the run, the Philly's just like with any other team in the NFL. Why go away from what's working? Last week, Minnesota did not go away from what was working.
Right, we made it easy for them, too. We couldn't set the edge. We talked about that earlier. You heard what Tack McKinley just told you guys. We're going to see how their lineup will rotate as far as running back. We talked about Miles Sanders. You know, certainly, Carl, they got guys that can get after it in Jordan Howard. But according to what I'm reading in the Philly paper, based on what Peterson was saying, and at least there's no confirmation, he's kind of talked around it, but the perception is that Sanders is going to be the lead dog in this game on Sunday night.
Well, he ran, in my opinion, Mike, he ran better last week.
Right.
Howard had plays. I thought he ran more efficiently in that game, and that's probably why he's going to get more carries.
But again, you know, it's funny, we were talking about the same subject earlier about 2 o'clock with some of the listeners here at the bar at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. You know, Tack McKinley is a first-round pick. Vic Beasley is a first-round pick. Grady's a fifth-rounder who plays like a first-rounder and earned that big contract.
Right.
You know, we bring in a guy in Tyler Davison who's really looking good so far. So from the middle, we're okay. But it's the guys. And again, I'm glad we brought Claiborne back. He's familiar with the system. But these guys have got to produce. Because if you're not doing your job, then you're taking away the effectiveness of Deion Jones. And that was something I thought at times where, you know, you got Debo running across the field to try to catch up to Dalvin Cook. You know, it's frustrating as a fan because we're supposed to have a defense when it's healthy that can look like that defense we saw in 2017 that was stymieing everybody.
All right, Jahi, we're gonna do a U-turn here, and I want you to find the Dan Quinn for me because we weren't gonna mention this, but Mike brings up a great point. Two things. I want you to play 8-9 for me. Quinn, first of all, talking here about the teams he's coached, they change from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, and he's right. Super Bowl year, we were a different defense at the beginning of the year than we were at the end of the
Quinn
year.
Quinn took it over, remember?
Okay. So here's DQ. This is the first one I want you to listen to.
The best teams I've been a part of have improved a lot during the year. From where they started to where they finished, they were quite a bit different. And that's what you're looking for. And if you're kind of searching and changing and going, oftentimes you'll tweak some things in the year. Okay, it may have started one way, but we want to, this player is emerging, and how can we feature him? Or this technique isn't as effective as it used to be. It needs to change. I think that's what coaching's about.
So here's the other thing, and this alludes to what you just talked about. It's Dukes and Bell. It is our Falcon Report, guys. We are live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we get ready for Sunday night, you'll be able to listen right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game to the call with Wes and Arch. Arch will join us in the 6 o'clock hour. Quinn talking about this, and this is a big thing, because I don't think we had this in week one. As you get more confident in what you're being asked to do,
right,
you become more effective. And I think this is a big thing. Week one, there were a lot of, here's DQ.
When you really start executing and playing consistently, that's when you found your mark. And you want that to keep building as you're going. So you should be improving as you're going. And if you have really good practice habits, that will happen.
So but again, you don't get to put everybody out there on the field for a preseason.
No,
so, I mean, if you were going to tweak your – let me just make the argument. If you're going to tweak your defense, it's not like they're reinventing the wheel, but they're adding some nuances to it that right now the guys aren't as comfortable with. So would you rather have all your starters out there give me a half in the second and third game of the season to learn more about this? I don't know. I mean, Squidbilly just yells at me, they're not going to show what they're doing. Well, I don't know what they're doing, Bo, because Minnesota ran through us like we weren't even there. So whatever we're supposed to be showing, it ain't working.
Well, but I think what he's trying to explain to
us.
I
get it. You're not going to.
Yeah. He's saying that we're not playing up to par because, again, guys are still filling out what exactly they need to be doing and where they need to be doing it. That doesn't mean they don't understand it. That's the two different things. But if
you've got to have familiarity doing it in live reps.
Well, but
in big moment, in game situations.
But you're exactly right, Mike. And you just asked a guy that we drafted to put his hand in the dirt and come after the quarterback, and now I got you standing up and doing other responsibilities. It's different.
Right. And I just don't think this suits Vic's game.
It's maybe different.
I mean, will it get better? I mean, Dan Quinn and the Falcons invested in Vic to turn his career around for $12.8 million.
Don't remind me.
On that option. All right, is this the best way to get the most out of Vic Beasley?
We're going to see.
Again, we got a few more weeks to get this right. But, I mean, you can't at some point, guys, the offense also, and this is another part of the business model. I think you'd agree, Bo, part of what we did was so successful in 16, we outscored everybody. We made teams one-dimensional. You couldn't run against us. And now the same thing happened to us in the Minnesota game. They took away our run game. We looked ridiculous.
Offense has got to be better. Keys, guys, real quick, we got to win early downs, meaning we can't be 3rd and 8 all game. It's going to be a long night, all right? Got to keep the third downs manageable. You also have to create explosive plays. We didn't have any of those last week. The Calvin Ridley touchdown came late. It was a 20-yarder. We need some explosive plays. Stretch that defense. And, Mike, we got to take care of the ball. Plain and simple. Don't fumble. Don't get a punt blocked. Take care of the ball.
Hey, guys, as far as the injuries, Matt Gono is out for this game, so I guess that would mean some – I mean, I presume we're going to see Caleb McGarry go – what do you think, three quarters?
Maybe.
Maybe the full game?
Maybe.
Either way, you got on the other side, Jake Matthews, who did not have a great start to his season. We talked about that first series, which really kind of set us back.
Turn this up, man. I want to get it lit on Sunday night, guys. Big boy's going to pull the horn. You can find me in the – we're live at Twin Peaks. We love our listeners. They are passionate. You are passionate, and this is why we love you guys, man. Sitting here at Twin Peaks, hanging out at the bar. Mike, I think they need two microphones and maybe some boxing gloves.
I mean, it's on like Donkey Kong. I mean, seriously, we got Coach. Now, for those who listen to the show on a regular basis, whenever we're here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, we call this guy Coach because I always say, you should tell Coach Quinn how to do this. So he's killing Quinn. Now we got the New York contingent. We got the guy wearing a Yankee lid. And now they're going back and forth. And literally, all you have is these nice people and these nice couples. They just came to have a quiet meal. And all hell's breaking loose over here. It's like a street fight. They're going bananas, Carl.
They are.
You're screaming about what's going on here. I don't even know what these idiots are arguing about.
The best part was in the break. Coach goes to me, Quinn needs a clock management coach, huh? And I'm like, yes, it's a trend in the NFL.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever. So he is still upset about Dan Quinn hiring
Bob Sutton yes.
from Kansas City to be his clock management coach. Listen, guys around the league are doing this.
And then Bo's mad at me because I said, why don't we practice the 3-4? And he goes, you can't do that because it's like a military secret. Whatever you call this. Okay, a 5-2? All I know is I got guys standing up who can't play either way with their hand in the dirt or standing up.
I don't care what you call it. How about stopping the run? How about that? I don't care what you call it. Hey, man, appreciate all the tweets and text. Find us, 404-741-0929.
Angry Fridays. Friday's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
Well, you're supposed to have fun coming out of your butt.
You
fun
know what?
And joy.
But this is people are on edge. People are on, because you know what? People want a W. That's
yes.
why.
Falcon fans are on the edge. And by the way, if you know your Falcons are going to get it done, big Giant support rally going down at Atlantic Station. Get on down there. I know that it's going to be a lot of fun. They've been doing this the last couple of seasons. So if you're looking for a good time, go see a flick at Atlantic Station. Get some great
hang
food.
Out.
But hang out tonight. It's going down. More details at AtlantaFalcons.com.
Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line. That's what I was giving out. 404-741-0929. Before we get to our strong arm story of the day, Atlanta United's in action tomorrow. We got word that maybe some guys might not be in the match tomorrow, and now we've got some clarity.
Yeah, I reached out to our man Jason Longshore. Jason and Michael have the call. Mike Conti will join us for In Case You Missed It coming up here in about 20 minutes. But Barco looks like he's going to be a scratch, but it sounds like Joseph's okay. Joseph did apparently get dinged in practice.
Yeah.
A couple of our listeners asked us about that. But according to Jason, as far as he knows, and he is in the know, that Joseph should be good to go. We have three games in a week. This is arguably one of the easier. I mean, knock wood, they're not easy, but this is one we should handle. Full capacity crowd for Columbus. I wonder if they'll have the roof open on Saturday if the weather's right.
Well, people have been asking that
Sunday
question.
It will be open for Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, and I have not gotten a definitive answer from Atlanta United, so I'm not going to tell you guys, yeah, that's going to happen. But I know United fans, when they heard us talking about the Falcons, were asking that about Saturday night. I guess that's a wait and see, but stay tuned. If we find out before we get out of here, we'll let you guys know. Hey, man, we've been talking a lot today about what's going on with our Braves. Magic number is 8. New series tonight, Mike, and we don't want to give any of these teams life. And what's the lineup going to look like? Let's get to the strong arm story of the day.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
All right, guys, as we start to look at what this national series is going to look like, let's talk about how this Philly series wrapped up, Mike. A little worried, a little concerned about what you saw last night?
Well, I don't want to give Philadelphia life. I heard John Smoltz talking about that last night because they're certainly alive in the wild card mix. I mean, we said 4 or 5 teams still alive in the NL last night. It was one of those nights where Julio Teheran, you know that ball's going to have movement in and out of the strike zone, and it was up in the strike zone. It was rather hittable. The velocity that he needs if he's going to be effective at times wasn't there. So not a good outing. The good news is you still split with Philly, right?
You do.
So I think they feel better about this than maybe we do. Austin Riley, this is something we talked about earlier on the show. I just don't think, and I think you agree with me, that we can't have him on the postseason roster. He can't hit. He's striking out way too much. And unfortunately, it's almost exactly what it looked like after the injury in Gwinnett a year ago. It's kind of like what would happen before he hurt himself this year. Amazing torrid start, and then people started figuring him out, throwing stuff up in the strike zone he just can't catch up to.
Yeah, listen, it's not being mean. I need the best 25-man roster that I can have going into the playoffs. And I need guys that I can count on and produce. And that's why, you know, when you make that roster out, Mike, and you're thinking about who you're going to carry, especially in the first round of the playoffs, You got to get to the NLCS to have a shot at the World Series. You can't be thinking, well, you know, we'll just care because. So I think there's some validity to that. But also, Mike Camargo, hairline fracture.
Tibia.
Yeah, that's treated like a bruise, so he could possibly be ready in two and a half weeks, according to various reports out there. But apparently this was a little bit more serious than what we thought.
That's good news. I thought he might be shut down for the postseason earlier when we first talked about it. Also, guys, lineup tonight, Ronald Acuna, Albies, Freeman, Donaldson, of course, bringer of rain, and in the five spot in left field.
We thought
it was going to be in right, the return of Nick Markakis. So I know a guy that he's going to have to prove, Carl, that he has not lost that stroke while he was banged up with the wrist injury. He was taking BP yesterday in Philly. So he's going to go tonight against Max Scherzer. It's Scherzer against Soroka.
He's been out since July 27th with a fractured left wrist. If this was a leg, I'd feel better.
Right.
But again, you take that live BP. That's what he's been doing the last couple of days. And now you're talking about him getting out there hitting live hitting. Okay, I got to see it.
That torque right there on the wrist, man.
I got to see where it's at. But it's good to see Markakis back. And again, let him play. Let him get back into rhythm, and hopefully he'll be ready for the playoffs. Hey, man, as we talk about our Braves in the bullpen, last night, you know, you talked to me about this, and you said, what's the deal as far as some of the guys, not all of them.
Right.
But last night we had, again, bullpen issues. We end up losing the game. Acuna, to me, was the story last night. He stole two bags. He hit a home run. He's got 39 homers now.
Still second, still third.
And he's got 36 stolen bags. So he's on his way to 40-40. He could truly accomplish what only four of the players in Major League Baseball history have done. And I think that's amazing. And Brave fans, we should be all over that. But we take the L, but it was about the bullpen, right?
Yeah, last night, and I know I've been asking the question to you about, I mean, they're going to have Luke Jackson in the postseason roster. That's obvious.
I think so.
Because, you know, he's effective, but do you trust him? I just hate the fact he puts guys, you know, whether he's putting guys on base or he gets behind in the count from the jump, either way, Luke Jackson last night. Now, I mean, Swarzak was a hot mess last night, and he was really good for about 2 months in the middle of the season. But I'm trying to come up with three or four guys aside from Martin, Melanson, and Green. And Melanson, I still want as a setup man. I would move Green to the closer. I don't know if Snicker's going to pivot to that. But Melanson lost the closer job in San Fran. Green was a closer, albeit on a bad Detroit team. Do you think Green is out of the woods now?
I absolutely do. He's looked absolutely incredible. And you know, whether you play it that way, Mike, or you stay the course, I still think the way we should be thinking about this is we're getting two closers in the eighth and the ninth. We're sending one guy out, whether it's Melanson or Green, and in the ninth inning you get another closer because they've both done that job and they've done it effectively. So I like those three guys coming together. That shored up our bullpen, and now you got to figure out what other arms you want to carry as we get ready for the postseason. Magic number is eight, guys. Braves, Nationals tonight opening up a three-game set. As Mike mentioned, Soroka, who's 11-4 with a 2.67 ERA on the hill for us.
And if you didn't see it last night, we mentioned it earlier, Austin Riley guns down a runner at, I think it was Franco, was trying to score. But unfortunately, Brian McCann does that sweep tag about a second too early. Brian was really frustrated about that. But, I mean, Austin Riley, I mean, he's doing good things in the glove, even with the gimpy knee. But the bat, a couple of guys just nodding when we were talking about Austin Riley earlier. A lot of people, and this came up with Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, they feel some guys are overvaluing Nick Markakis. 9 home runs before he got injured.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that, I want him on the postseason roster, but he's got to prove he can hit. He's got less than a month to prove he can make contact.
Remember we talked about, you know, Snicker pushing all the right buttons, right? Whether it was Ortega, Echevarria, Billy, it didn't matter who he seemed to insert into the lineup, we got production from. So, really, that's what I want to see is how he maneuvers these next few weeks, Mike. And, again, you know, there's a limited amount of games left. You pretty much know what your team looks like, but if you want to look at a specific guy, now's the time to do it.
Right.
If you're thinking about, okay, I really think he's on the bubble as far as the playoff roster is concerned, you better put him in the lineup and see what he's got and feel better about it moving forward. But, yeah, I think Markakis ultimately will be on the roster as well, unless he just comes back and is awful, which, you know, you don't know.
And we talked about it earlier. Now, is this a trend for Julio, or you think just one game aberration for Julio? Excuse me. Julio, 4 innings pitch, 5 hits, 5 runs. 3 walks, and the worst stat, 3 home runs. I mean, do you trust – I mean, if you go to a best of 7 –
you're going to put him in the bullpen.
Keuchel, Soroka, Fried, or Fried – either way. But do you trust him out of the bullpen?
You're going to put him in the bullpen.
Not overpowering stuff. We talked about that. No. He's got to be really accurate, got to be on.
But what if you get into a game, and you got to look at all scenarios. And here's the thing about baseball. When you get these playoff matchups, you got to think about what if our pitcher bombs inning 2 and we need long relief.
Right.
And I need a guy who can throw three or four innings. I may need a guy like Julio Teheran coming out of the bullpen before I go to some of those other guys we talked about in the sixth, seventh, and eighth.
Right.
It's just a thought. You got to have all of that figured out, Mike, because if you don't and you get into a game like that, then you're going to the bullpen early and you're spending arms that you might need the next night.
But as Dale Murphy mentioned earlier this week when he spoke with us, the Dodgers, everybody's made the Dodgers to world beaters. Not that we're going to win the number one spot in the National League, but the Dodgers have had problems with their bullpen. They've had some injuries. They've had some issues now, guys, on the 10-day DL here and there in the infield. So Dodgers not exactly coming to the wire like a thoroughbred either right now.
Guys, it'll be interesting. We'll be watching over the weekend. Mike and I will be talking plenty about it. Braves taking on the Nationals for three more.
Let's not give these guys some life.
Nothing. I don't want to give anybody anything. Falcons watch party, guys. The Beverly Atlanta Sports Bar and Restaurant off of Glenwood Avenue in the Grant Park area. Okay, it's Sunday starting at 7. Falcon prizes on site, cheerleaders, Falcon alum Chuck Smith, and more out there. It's the Beverly Atlanta Sports Bar and Restaurant off of Glenwood Avenue. Hey, guys, roof is closed for the United game. We just got word.
So closed on Saturday, open on
Sunday. I think
there's
a chance of rain Saturday evening.
Right. Well, again.
Yeah.
But again, I sit under the closed portion so it wouldn't get me wet. Anyway, Carl, enough about me. Hey, guys, let's try it again. Falcon fans, how you feeling about Sunday night? All right, a little bit better.
Look at Coach. Look at Coach.
Coach is like, I'd feel better if Quinn wasn't there. All right, will you just sit down? Have a shot, for God's sakes. When's the last time you walked on a beach, kissed a woman? Come on, have some perspective.
Hey, coming up, we got Mike Conte in case you've missed it. Top 3 at 6 is on the way. What was wrong with Cam last night? More importantly, what's wrong with Cam? We'll tell you about it coming up on Dukes and Bell. All right, man, coming up top 3 at 6, big event over at Atlantic Station tonight.
Yeah, man, the Falcons Friday kickoff rally. It starts at 7 o'clock. It is open to the public, guys. It is free. You can park anywhere downstairs, and that's probably the best way to do it at Atlantic Station. Tower Street right there. Can't miss it. Just look for the action. Listen for the noise and the music and the fun. Appearances by Falcon legends. They're going to have cheerleaders out there, all sorts of fun, food trucks as well, Falcon giveaways. Down at Atlantic Station, guys, starting at 7. Give yourself some time to get on down.
It is time for our man, Mike Conte. Conte, I'm still tripping about Felicity Huffman getting the 2 weeks in prison, $30,000 fine.
Federal prison.
Yeah, whatever.
That's not like going to L.A. County. That's not like black is the new orange, Mike. That's federal. Should be playing tennis.
Yeah, I mean, and that's quite honestly why, unlike Carl, I am no longer tripping about the 14-day sentence, because one of our helpful listeners tweeted us and said she's going to have to serve at least 12 days of the 14. So, I mean, if she's at Leavenworth, okay, at Supermax, that's going to be a kind of hard 12 days for her. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. By the way, that Falcons rally, by the way, I saw a linked copy of what they're going to do over there tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. Like, that, it, I'm not going to give it away, but what they have planned there is going to be awesome. And you... Those of you who know me know I just wouldn't say that. They have something really, really amazing planned over there tonight. So definitely get there by 7 o'clock. And since I've seen the agenda, stay for the entire duration. Okay. Trust me, it will be well worth your while.
All right, now you're getting me excited,
yes,
Cassie.
Yes, you should be. I got something else for you to be excited about. A lot of people,
okay,
this afternoon who are fans of the NFL are really, really stoked about something they saw on Twitter. You remember Chris Berman, Tom Jackson, NFL Primetime?
Of course.
We loved it.
We all did. And then they took it off the air because NBC, in their deal with the NFL, blocked ESPN and anyone else from doing a highlight show from 7 to 8 p.m. Well, right. ESPN, like 12 years later, has found the workaround. They have brought back Chris Berman and Tom Jackson. And
what?
Starting Sunday at 7:30, we're going to have NFL Primetime again. Now, it's not going to be on ESPN. It's going to be streamed on ESPN Plus, but they are bringing back the original NFL Primetime with Berman and Tom Jackson.
Yeah, but Mike, that was, you know, you saved that ESPN Plus for the end of the story. I mean, no disrespect, because, you know, now I like Dan Patrick. Now Dan's not even on it. They got the other guy on it now, so I don't know.
Tirico's on it.
Well, I like Dan. I like Tirico too. But
you don't
just,
like
I
Liam
like
McHugh?
Tom Jackson.
You don't like Chris Sims? You don't like Mike Florio? I don't know what the problem is, Mike. So now listen.
I mean, if we could get...
Go ahead.
You know, we could get in a time machine and get the Berman and Tom from 20 years ago. That'd be awesome.
Well, no, you had me all the way up until ESPN Plus.
That's not a platform we're going to watch it on, Mike.
Why not?
Because it's not on the TV.
It's not on the TV.
You know, I'm sure both of you have the fancy schmancy TVs that get the internet on it. It would be
just
a couple clicks on your remote and you'll have it. Now, it is, I think, $5 a month to stream ESPN Plus. It's not free, but...
Think we're made of money?
Well,
hush. You know what? Be quiet, Conti.
Probably will not go ahead and answer that question. All right.
But you know what? I will say this. You're right. It was one of my favorites. It was something was must see. And again, if you remember it, if you're of a certain age, guys. Sure. I mean, they did an incredible highlight package. They had phrases and chants and
from Louisville.
All those things, nicknames. It was just fun, and so. And Tom Jackson was cool. When they let him go, he was like, cool, I'll see you guys. And it's good to see those guys.
We've talked about Berman kind of becoming that, you know, kind of at the end of the game, kind of lost his fastball, like we all do. But, I mean, that was Berman in his prime. That was when ESPN was fun to watch, and it wasn't all this crap we get now, which isn't even sports.
Yes. 1983.
Chuckery and I were talking
about candlestick.
Chuckery and I were talking about the bullpen. And Mike, I'm with you. I mean, Berman is not nearly what he used to be. But the one thing that Berman always did well, even as he was kind of declining, was NFL highlights. So a lot of people very excited about this on Twitter. It's going to start this Sunday, 7:30, but again, it's on ESPN+. Now,
Prime time.
That's right. What would you guys say is the thing in life that you have accomplished that you're most proud of?
It's a great question. I honestly, not to get morbid or anything, but I took care of my grandma 5 years to take care of my nana after my dad passed away.
Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It was mutually beneficial. I would meet chicks pushing her around in the wheelchair at the mall. I get a lot of chicks out of that.
Yeah, he did tell me those stories, and I've heard those stories from people who worked with you and knew you in those days.
That's true.
No, man, for me, it's easy. It's fatherhood, man. It's being a dad.
Well, I'm neither a father, nor did I care for an elderly relative. So for me, the most proud I have ever been of anything I've done in my life is accumulate 200,000 sky miles on Delta.
That's nice.
And special time.
And spend them wisely, you know, not just, you know, use it for upgrades and maybe a trip to Toledo. There is a man in North Georgia who has just been indicted in the last day or two on wire fraud charges for allegedly scamming Delta out of over 42 million sky miles.
Ooh, wow.
42?
How is that even possible?
It's a long and complicated story. Here's the best way I can boil it down. Delta has a program where companies can earn something called a sky bonus if they book their employees on flights on Delta. This guy set up a shell company, or used a shell company, a fertility center, owned and operated by a family member, and he was also a travel agent. So when he would book flights for his customers, he would use the sky bonus number of the fertility company, and he would get the sky bonus points off the people he's booking flights for. The way it's set up with Delta is you have to be an employee of the company to get the sky bonus. Now, you might be wondering, 42 million sky miles. Just how far can that go? That could take you from Atlanta to Hawaii in first class 96 times. It's a lot of points.
Wow.
Now, you might be thinking, all right, you know, frequent flyer miles, that might be a victimless crime. According to federal prosecutors, this could have cost Delta $1.75 million if they didn't catch the guy.
Huh. I mean, it's still, it's cutting into profits. Makes sense. Wow. Remember George Clooney in Up in the Air?
Great movie.
You know, just get the million miles. That's 42 million. That's
I would guess, and I'm sure something tipped him off. I mean, when you get to a certain amount of miles, right, they start to watch
42
you a little bit?
Million in a year might get my attention a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Wow.
Conti, have a great weekend. Have a great call tomorrow, Atlanta United. What time's the pregame start?
6:30 tomorrow, guys, from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Looking to get back at it.
So the roof is closed for us against Columbus and then open for us on the Falcons, Mike. And we had heard some stuff about Joseph getting nicked, but we couldn't find anything to substantiate that. We don't think Barco's going to play, though, right?
Yeah, I have heard zero about that with Joseph. Barco is not playing tomorrow. I haven't heard a thing about Joseph, so I don't know where that's coming
from. Cool. Good to hear.
Mike Conte, enjoy the weekend, brother. Good stuff. It is Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We're coming back. Top three at 6 on the way. Dave Archer in the 6 o'clock hour as well.
Yeah, we're going to talk in the headlines, Carl. You and I started the show. What is up with Cam Newton? Is the Cam Newton we know gone?
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.